Chapter 131. The Golden Dustman rises a little. Mr. and Mrs. Lammle had come to breakfast with Mr. and Mrs. Boffin. They were not absolutely uninvited, but had pressed themselves with so much urgency on the golden couple that evasion of the honor and pleasure of their company would have been difficult, if desired. They were in a charming state of mind, were Mr. and Mrs. Lammle, and almost as fond of Mr. and Mrs. Boffin as of one another. "My dear Mrs. Boffin," said Mrs. Lammle, "it imparts new life to me to see my Alfred in confidential communication with Mr. Boffin. The two were formed to become intimate. So much simplicity combined with so much force of character, such natural sagacity united to such amiability and gentleness, these are the distinguishing characteristics of both." This being said aloud, gave Mr. Lammle an opportunity, as he came with Mr. Boffin from the window to the breakfast table, of taking up his dear and honored wife. "My Sophronia," said that gentleman, "your too partial estimate of your husband's character," "No, not too partial, Alfred," urged the lady, tenderly moved, "never say that. My child, your favorable opinion, then, of your husband, you don't object to that phrase, darling?" "How can I, Alfred?" "Your favorable opinion, then, my precious, does less than justice to Mr. Boffin, and more than justice to me." "To the first charge, Alfred, I plead guilty. But to the second, oh no, no." "Less than justice to Mr. Boffin, Sophronia," said Mr. Lammle, soaring into a tone of moral grandeur, "because it represents Mr. Boffin as on my lower level. More than justice to me, Sophronia, because it represents me as on Mr. Boffin's higher level. Mr. Boffin bears and forbears far more than I could. Far more than you could for yourself, Alfred. My love, that is not the question." "Not the question, lawyer?" said Mrs. Lammle, archly. "No, dear Sophronia. From my lower level, I regard Mr. Boffin as too generous, as possessed of too much clemency, as being too good to persons who are unworthy of him, and ungrateful to him. To those noble qualities I can lay no claim. On the contrary, they rouse my indignation when I see them in action. Alfred. They rouse my indignation, my dear, against the unworthy persons, and give me a combative desire to stand between Mr. Boffin and all such persons. Why? Because, in my lower nature, I am more worldly and less delicate. Not being so magnanimous as Mr. Boffin, I feel his injuries more than he does himself, and feel more capable of opposing his injurers." It struck Mrs. Lammle that it appeared rather difficult this morning to bring Mr. and Mrs. Boffin into agreeable conversation. Here had been several lures thrown out, and neither of them had uttered a word. Here were she, Mrs. Lammle, and her husband discoursing at once affectingly and effectively, but discoursing alone. Assuming that the dear old creatures were impressed by what they heard, still one would like to be sure of it, the more so, as at least one of the dear old creatures was somewhat pointedly referred to. If the dear old creatures were too bashful, or too dull to assume their required places in the discussion, why then it would seem desirable that the dear old creatures should be taken by their heads and shoulders and brought into it. "But is not my husband saying in effect," asked Mrs. Lammy, therefore, with an innocent air, "of Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, that he becomes unmindful of his own temporary misfortunes in his admiration of another whom he is burning to serve? And is not that making an admission that his nature is a generous one? I am wretched in argument, but surely this is so, dear Mr. and Mrs. Boffin?" Still, neither Mr. and Mrs. Boffin said a word. He sat with his eyes on his plate, eating his muffins and ham, and she sat shyly looking at the teapot. Mrs. Lammel's innocent appeal was merely thrown into the air, to mingle with the steam of the urn. Glancing towards Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, she very slightly raised her eyebrows, as though inquiring of her husband. Do I notice anything wrong here? Mr. Lammel, who had found his chest effective on a variety of occasions, maneuvered his capacious shirt front into the largest demonstration possible, and then smiling retorted on his wife, thus. Sophronia, darling, Mr. and Mrs. Boffin will remind you of the old adage, that self-praise is no recommendation. Self-praise, Alfred? Do you mean, because we are one and the same? No, my dear child. I mean that you cannot fail to remember, if you reflect for a single moment, that what you are pleased to compliment me upon feeling in the case of Mr. Boffin, you have yourself confided to me as your own feeling in the case of Mrs. Boffin. I shall be beaten by this lawyer, Mrs. Lammel gaily whispered to Mrs. Boffin. I am afraid I must admit it, if he presses me, for it's damagingly true. Several white dints began to come and go about Mr. Lammel's nose, as he observed that Mrs. Boffin merely looked up from the teapot for a moment with an embarrassed smile, which was no smile, and then looked down again. Do you admit the charge, Sophronia? Inquired Alfred, in a rallying tone. Really, I think, said Mrs. Lammel, still gaily, I must throw myself on the protection of the court. Am I bound to answer that question, my lord? To Mr. Boffin. You need, if you don't like, ma'am, was his answer. It's not of the least consequence. Both husband and wife glanced at him, very doubtfully. His manner was grave, but not coarse, and derived some dignity from a certain repressed dislike of the tone of the conversation. Again Mrs. Lammel raised her eyebrows for instruction from her husband. He replied in a slight nod, try him again. To protect myself against the suspicion of covert self-laudation, my dear Mrs. Boffin, said the airy Mrs. Lammel, therefore, I must tell you how it was. No. Pray don't, Mr. Boffin interposed. Mrs. Lammel turned to him laughingly. The court objects? Ma'am, said Mr. Boffin, the court, if I am the court, does object. The court objects for two reasons. First, because the court don't think it fair. Secondly, because the dear old lady, Mrs. Court, if I am Mr., gets distressed by it. A very remarkable wavering between two bearings, between her propitiatory bearing there, and her defiant bearing at Mr. Twemlow's, was observable on the part of Mrs. Lammel as she said, what does the court not consider fair? Letting you go on, replied Mr. Boffin, nodding his head soothingly, as who should say, we won't be harder on you than we can help, we'll make the best of it. It's not above board, and it's not fair. When the old lady is uncomfortable, there's sure to be good reason for it. I see she is uncomfortable, and I plainly see this is the good reason wherefore. Have you breakfasted, ma'am? Mrs. Lammel, settling into her defiant manner, pushed her plate away, looked at her husband, and laughed, but by no means gaily. Have you breakfasted, sir? Inquired Mr. Boffin. Thank you, replied Alfred, showing all his teeth. If Mrs. Boffin will oblige me, I'll take another cup of tea. He spilled a little of it over the chest which ought to have been so effective, and which had done so little, but on the whole, drank it with something of an air, though the coming and going dints got almost as large, the while, as if they had been made by pressure of the teaspoon. A thousand thanks, he then observed. I have breakfasted. Said Mr. Boffin softly, taking out a pocketbook, which of you two is cashier? Sophronia, my dear, remarked her husband, as he leaned back in his chair, waving his right hand towards her, while he hung his left hand by the thumb in the armhole of his waistcoat. It shall be your department. I would rather, said Mr. Boffin, that it was your husband's, ma'am, because but never mind, because I would rather have to do with him. However, what I have to say, I will say with as little offense as possible. If I can say it without any, I shall be heartily glad. You two have done me a service, a very great service, in doing what you did. My old lady knows what it was, and I have put into this envelope a banknote for £100. I consider the service well worth £100, and I am well pleased to pay the money. Would you do me the favor to take it, and likewise to accept my thanks? With a haughty action, and without looking towards him, Mrs. Lammle held out her left hand, and into it Mr. Boffin put the little packet. When she had conveyed it to her bosom, Mr. Lammle had the appearance of feeling relieved, and breathing more freely, as not having been quite certain that the £100 were his, until the note had been safely transferred out of Mr. Boffin's keeping into his own Sophronia's. It is not impossible, said Mr. Boffin, addressing Alfred, that you have had some general idea, sir, of replacing Rokesmith, in course of time? It is not, assented Alfred, with a glittering smile and a great deal of nose, not impossible. And perhaps, ma'am, pursued Mr. Boffin, addressing Sophronia, you have been so kind as to take up my old lady in your own mind, and to do her the honor of turning the question over whether you mightn't one of these days have her in charge, like, whether you mightn't be a sort of Miss Bella Wilfer to her, and something more? I should hope, returned Mrs. Lammle, with a scornful look and in a loud voice, that if I were anything to your wife, sir, I could hardly fail to be something more than Miss Bella Wilfer, as you call her. What do you call her, ma'am? Asked Mr. Boffin. Mrs. Lammle disdained to reply, and sat defiantly beating one foot on the ground. Again I think I may say, that's not impossible. Is it, sir? Asked Mr. Boffin, turning to Alfred. It is not, said Alfred, smiling assent as before, not impossible. Said Mr. Boffin, gently, it won't do. I don't wish to say a single word that might be afterwards remembered as unpleasant, but it won't do. Sophronia, my love, her husband repeated in a bantering manner, you hear? It won't do. Said Mr. Boffin, with his voice still dropped, it really won't. You positively must excuse us. If you'll go your way, we'll go ours, and so I hope this affair ends to the satisfaction of all parties. Mrs. Lammle gave him the look of a decidedly dissatisfied party demanding exemption from the category, but said nothing. The best thing we can make of the affair, said Mr. Boffin, is a matter of business, and as a matter of business it's brought to a conclusion. You have done me a great service, a very great service, and I have paid for it. Is there any objection to the price? Mr. and Mrs. Lammle looked at one another across the table, but neither could say that there was. Mr. Lammle shrugged his shoulders, and Mrs. Lammle sat rigid. Very good, said Mr. Boffin. We hope, my old lady and me, that you will give us credit for taking the plainest and honestest shortcut that could be taken under the circumstances. We have talked it over with a deal of care, my old lady and me, and we have felt that at all to lead you on, or even at all to let you go on of your own selves, wouldn't be the right thing. So, I have openly given you to understand that Mr. Boffin sought for a new turn of speech, but could find none so expressive as his former one, repeated in a confidential tone, that it won't do. If I could have put the case more pleasantly I would, but I hope I haven't put it very unpleasantly. At all events, I haven't meant to. So, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, by way of peroration, wishing you well in the way you go, we now conclude with the observation that perhaps you will go it. Apostrophe, Mr. Lammle rose with an impudent laugh on his side of the table, and Mrs. Lammle rose with a disdainful frown on hers. At this moment a hasty foot was heard on the staircase, and Georgina Podsnap broke into the room, unannounced and in tears. Oh, my dear Sophronia, apostrophe cried Georgina, wringing her hands as she ran up to embrace her, to think that you and Alfred should be ruined. Oh, my poor dear Sophronia, to think that you should have had a sale at your house after all your kindness to me. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, pray forgive me for this intrusion, but you don't know how fond I was of Sophronia, when Pa wouldn't let me go there anymore, or what I have felt for Sophronia, since I heard from Ma of her having been brought low in the world. You don't, you can't, you never can, think how I have lain awake at night, and cried for my good Sophronia, my first and only friend. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Lammle's manner changed under the poor silly girl's embraces, and she turned extremely pale. Directing one appealing look, first to Mrs. Boffin, and then to Mr. Boffin. Both understood her instantly, with a more delicate subtlety than much better educated people, whose perception came less directly from the heart, could have brought to bear upon the case. I haven't a minute, apostrophe said poor little Georgina, to stay. I am out shopping early with Ma, and I said I had a headache, and got Ma to leave me outside in the phaeton, in Piccadilly, and ran round to Sackville Street, and heard that Sophronia was here, and then Ma... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.